welcome to another episode of Disrupt Ed. I'm Ron Stefanski, your host. And you know the drill if you've been listening to our show. We're here to talk to the ordinary humans out there making an extraordinary impact in a ginormously disrupted world. And what I mean by that is we're living in a 5G wired, workforce augmented, AI accelerated, Web3 immersive, technology interconnected, globally interdependent, pandemic interrupted world of work and learning. And if that's not a mouthful, and if that doesn't keep you up at nights, I'm going to be very surprised. And so as we talk to people, these ordinary humans, what you'll see and what you're going to see from my three guests is they have one thing among other things in common. But the one thing that stands out is, scientifically speaking, they all have an extraordinarily high GSD index. And what I mean by that is not only are they thought leaders in their respective fields, but they get shit done. They have very high GSD index. They are people, as Teddy Roosevelt is wont to say, they're people in the arena. They're people that are getting things done. And so I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation with three stalwarts in the healthcare upskilling workforce arena. So we're going to get right into it, and I'm going to introduce and maybe even make fun of a couple of these guys that I know better than the others. And so I'm going to start with Jason Aubrey, who is currently the CEO and founder of Skilltrade. Jason, welcome to the show. It's great to see you again.
Great. Thanks for having me, Ron.
I feel like you're a pretty sly cat. Like, I've known you in 9 different lives. So we started getting acquainted when you were the CEO of MedCerts, and then you went through an acquisition and a sell-off, and then you went into the tech world, and then something brought you back, which we're going to talk about. We're gonna apply your psyche to find out what drew you back into the world of healthcare upskilling. So, Jason, thanks for joining us. And then we have an old friend of mine, Jeff Roach, who's here from Siemens. Jeff, great to have you here.
Thank you, Ron. Good to see you.
And then lastly, but certainly not least, a new friend of mine, Jesse McCree, who runs a workforce board in Pennsylvania. And apart from helping to influence the outcome of the 2024 election, Jesse has been at the center of the stage in helping to look at how talent is developed and marketed and sustained in a growing economy in the state of Pennsylvania. So, gentlemen, welcome to this arena, if you will. And let's get started. I'd like, starting with Jason, to just give our audience a little bit of your origin story. And then, okay, as you're doing that, I'm going to be fact-checking it. So I'll call you out if I think you're being a little bit full of yourself or something here.
Yeah. Well, listen, Ron, you and I were both from Detroit. I think we're both football fans and Detroit Lions fans. So I actually think that this story about what brought me back in is a lot. It's a lot of similarities between the offensive coordinator of the Lions, Ben Johnson, who has been offered head coaching positions in other markets. And he said, no, you know what? I'm staying with Detroit because I have unfinished business. And the reality is why did I come back into this market is because I have unfinished business as well. I believe that this organization, Skilltrade, is an evolution of what we've done in the past, what I've done personally in the past. Ultimately, at a high level, and I'm excited to drill in and talk about that, is combining the best of both worlds of online training with hands-on training. And I think we've created flexible, innovative solutions that are extremely agile and go in different markets and needs, work with employers across all types of healthcare organizations.
Great. So not only are we going to tap into Jason in terms of his newfound adventure, but he's really, you know, despite all my kidding, he really is a massive thought leader in the healthcare space. And as you know, that is the most, how do I say it, the most complex, but also the most disturbingly disrupted space there is. I mean, just so much regulation, so much complexity, don't have any answers, all trying to struggling to figure that out. That's where Jeff Roach comes in. So Jeff, talk a little bit about your multifaceted career in the healthcare space.
Yeah, well, let me just say, unlike you and Jason, I'm not a Detroit Lions fan. And I think we need to just acknowledge that they almost lost to the Packers. And so let's just remind everyone.
Yeah, but with the emphasis on almost and with the emphasis on the last field goal as the clock was expiring. So just to point that out.
We will point that out, but just remember, fly Eagles fly is important to acknowledge too. So, you know, I think, look, I mean, as somebody that has worked in hospital administration, Ron, as you know, and then came into higher ed or all around healthcare, and then now have the privilege of leading workforce development strategy and partnerships at Siemens, which, you know, gives me the opportunity to work with 9 out of every 10 hospitals in the country. To your point, we're really at a significant crossroads. We're at the most difficult, most challenging time in our nation's history when it comes to workforce. And I rarely tell people that I don't think Americans pay attention to that as closely as they need to until they don't have a nurse or they don't have an allied health professional that's able to help take care of them. But we're close to that, unfortunately. In some rural parts of America, we're at the most significant times within the healthcare workforce. And so, you know, work that like leaders like Jason are doing are absolutely crucial to really not just stem the current tide, but really build a future-ready, sustainable workforce. And so that's what really has me encouraged when I see solutions like this. And I have to highlight the key aspect that he acknowledged. There's a lot of solutions out there that are online training, but in healthcare, that does not fill the need. You have to have the in-person, hands-on aspect. And as you know, Ron, as somebody in business, you've got to have it because of the accreditors and the licensing boards. And so that's the other piece that's really significant.
Yeah, I think that's right. So, Jesse, let's hear from you a little bit about your origin story in the healthcare workforce space.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. Appreciate the invite here. And I'll just say really, really briefly, with regards to football, I'm married to a Giants fan, grew up in Patriots territory, and I live right now in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where if you go 10 miles east, it's all Fly Eagles Fly. 10 miles west, it's all Steeler country. Closest team is the Ravens, so who do I pull for? I'm Switzerland. I try to stay as neutral in a world that's kind of incredibly partisan, Ron. I try to stay Switzerland there. That's right. it's great to sort of share the stage with Jeffrey and Jason on this. My origin story really is fundamentally around the dignity of work and how work really unlocks the human potential for all people, both for businesses and for individuals. And so my career for the last 15, 16 years has really been around catalyzing economic mobility at the front lines of workforce development, right? So as CEO of South Central PA Works over the last 10 years, really seeing both businesses, what their hiring needs are, and ultimately investing in and advancing high impact workforce programs for job seekers has given me a really interesting lens over the dignity of work, the importance of it in terms of catalyzing economic mobility, and seeing how it really builds resilient communities. Suffice to say, healthcare is a tremendous part of the growth in South Central Pennsylvania as it is across the country. And I think exactly to the points that Jason and Jeffrey made, it is so critical because these are good jobs with strong career pathways, with really great living wages. But there's a disconnect between those that have the greatest barriers to employment and training and the jobs that are out there. I mean, Jeffrey and I talk all the time about the high turnover in nursing and in healthcare and the burnout rates. The need is significant and will only get greater as we move forward. If we are not able to connect job seekers with training and employment opportunities in healthcare, we are going to see communities really start to pull apart at the seams with this. And so this work really is the critical front lines work of investing, particularly in the healthcare space. And solutions like what Jason's working on is incredible, right? Because humans need that work, but they also need that hands-on connection to training and education for these jobs. So really, really exciting to kind of see how this conversation unfolds.
Oh, it is. And I have a vested dog in this hunt as well. I am the community ambassador for Strive, which is a nonprofit workforce organization in New York City. And their specific formula for success over the past 40 years has been creating a solution for people who are formerly incarcerated or formerly justice involved or populations that are underrepresented, the Black and Brown communities, to get them into a pathway that creates one basic thing that I think we're all in agreement on. And that is finding a way to get people to life-sustaining, family-supporting work. And so Strive is doing that work really well and was just awarded an unencumbered grant for $7 million from Mackenzie Scott, who seems intent upon giving away all of Jeff Bezos' money as fast and furiously as she can to actually counteract some of the effects of his overreach in capitalism. So I applaud McKenzie for supporting the fine work of Strive, but also for, you know, putting it to the man there. And so as we look at Strive with this, you know, this infusion of capital, they're looking to build a bridge to Detroit, and they move into communities that are interested in having them. And so with full transparency, Jason and I have been talking because what he's doing at Skilltrade aligns so well with a nonprofit that's interested not in coming to Detroit and saying, hey, we're Strive, this is what we do, and, you know, come aboard. You know, they work much more intentionally at finding out where's the need. So we've been doing that really important work in Detroit. And here's what we find. So I'm going to build on what Jason was saying about Detroit. This is the place to be right now. 750,000 people show up at our doorstep for the draft. 3,000 people show up for the launch of New Lab, a growth venture platform right downtown adjacent to Michigan Central, which is now an innovation campus thanks to the brilliant vision of Bill Ford and company. So we know that $1 billion still goes a long way. And you can see that by virtue of the glorious restoration of Michigan Central train station. Now we have that going on in Detroit. 3,000 people show up for the grand opening of New Lab. 30,000 people show up for the grand opening of Grand Central. What is this saying? People are coming to Detroit and they're connecting with Detroit's spirit of resilience. And why is that, you know, so important? I'll tell you why I think it's important. And that is because we need a moon launch epic initiative to create inclusive economic growth. We know we have, you know, we put 227 people to work in the last month, according to the Department of Labor. But are we getting those people who are underrepresented into the workforce? Not so sure we're doing as much as we can, as much as we should. So when you look at the Detroit story and you look at New Lab and Michigan Central as just two hubs, then you look at the healthcare vertical, and there's a tremendous need. The need is so great that we have hospital systems like Henry Ford that are literally paying people to go back and get their GED, and upon getting their GED, giving them a raise and permanent employment. Why is that? It's not really difficult to figure out. Within the span of reach that a hospital in downtown Detroit has, there are simply not enough people to fill these jobs. You know, what Jesse, what you were saying is so, so true, is this disconnect couldn't be worse. And at a time when, you know, the healthcare industry is also, you know, been pandemic fueled by a massive, massive resignation. People just got burned out. People got burned out in hospitals on a number of different levels. And so that adds and only complicates to the labor shortage we have in the space. And so I think it's really important that we get on track there. And then just parenthetically for Jason's benefit, so he knows that we're doing good work here in Detroit and he's sustained in that as well. We also have a moon launch to put a high school in place for the residents of the city of Detroit. Guess how many? I'm going to go around and ask each of you. Guess how many people don't have a high school diploma in the city of Detroit?
That's tough. 50,000.
Jesse?
I was going to say 10% of the population. I was going to say maybe 75,000.
Jeff?
150,000.
Guys, bracketed it. It's between 70 and 150,000 people. Now think about this. Just say this once and then watch your head explode. 70 to 150,000 people in the city of Detroit do not have a high school diploma. In this world, you guys are all dealing with the complex technology-driven growth of the healthcare business. And we have 70 to 150,000 people that don't have a basic high school credential. So let's jump into this. You know, I want to start with Jesse on this one. Jesse, how do you start to close the gap? How do you start to connect the dots here?
Yeah, this work is so critical. It's so impactful. And it's also challenging work too, right? If it was easy work, it in theory would have already been done, right? So systems connection and rebuilding communities and building resilient communities is not easy work. I'll take one very narrow lens on it, Ron, and then open it up to the guys. So again, from a workforce development board perspective, we are serving tens of thousands of people every year who have significant barriers to employment. They're unemployed, they're formerly incarcerated, they have low literacy, low numeracy rates, they have spotty work history, there are significant issues with childcare, transportation. Every single workforce board across the country is serving tens of thousands of people every year that are in this exact scenario. For instance, don't have a high school diploma. And I love your story of Detroit. It's so exciting from an outsider to see Detroit's growth. But I also think too, and we would all agree that that story is happening in a number of other communities across the country as well. Maybe not to the headline grabbing level that Detroit is, but I think about all of the workforce board directors who are investing tens of millions of dollars a year in their community to do just this. My message to them, to all of them, particularly those 50 or 60 that are in the largest cities across the country dealing with these issues, is we need to be identifying really important critical solutions like what Jeffrey and Jason are talking about in order to do the frontline work of connecting those individuals with those life-sustaining jobs, such as in healthcare. And this is the exciting part for me. We want to think global, right? But we do actually want to act local. And what that looks like is the tough, dirty work, rolling up our sleeves and connecting individuals like those 75 to 150,000 in Detroit that don't have a high school diploma and connect them to jobs. And Jeffrey, you can attest to this with 9 out of 10 hospitals that you all work with at Siemens. I mean, you see how great these jobs are and how much of the need there really is for these occupations.
There's a couple things that I would add. I mean, A, as you know, I've also been an elected school director. And so when I was serving on a school board, if there's one thing that taught me that I think where a skill trade type of solution can also be incredibly applicable across the thousands of school districts that we have in this country is really in the career and technical area. Because as I was a student back in the day, we called it vo-tech. And as the son of somebody who didn't graduate from high school, my father never graduated from high school, yet went on and became a union carpenter and obviously was very successful because of the union. And because of the great benefits that unions had, and obviously Detroit is a great example of that as well. And we can't forget the impact that unions have also in healthcare. But I will tell you that we will not solve this issue if we maintain the status quo of what we do in career and technical programs today. They can't keep the faculty. They don't pay them enough. And we don't give our students the opportunity to really see the breadth and depth of a healthcare career. And so we have to really change that, because we have to get students interested in healthcare early, and then we have to give them an avenue to actually practice what they want to learn and then get into it while they're still in high school. The second thing we have to do is we can't continue to not allow students into our clinical environments until they're age 18. That will not be a sustainable solution. And so we have to work like states like Wisconsin. I mean, I will tell you, if I were a state right now, if I were a workforce leader, I would look at Wisconsin as the best state in the nation. And I'll tell you why. Because Wisconsin under Governor Evers took an employer-led model. They let healthcare drive the model for apprenticeships and youth apprenticeships. And now that state is leading the way in the country when it comes to apprenticeships and healthcare. Why can't others do that? Why do we continue to have, 49 other states that are making it more difficult to, get students engaged?
You're really hitting on the ultimate question here, is why can't we do this at scale? And I think Jason has a lot to say about the employer-led movement. What we're going to do, folks, is we're going to take a brief break. You've been listening to Disrupt Ed, your host, Ron Stefanski, with three thought leaders in the upskilling workforce space in healthcare: Jeffrey Roach from Siemens, Jesse McCray from the Workforce System, and Jason Aubrey, co-founder and CEO of Skilltrade. So come right back to us for episode 2, because I got a lot of more questions and I'm going to drill these guys. They are not getting away from this show without answering some pretty important questions. So stay tuned. Come right back to us for episode 2.